RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. Indonesia and Africa strengthen ties in government accountability. 14th economic policy packages to regulate e-commerce. Chinese company agrees to process garbage to generate power. Now the news in detail. Indonesia and several African countries held the Indonesian African Countries Dialogue on accountable governance theme, responding challenges and building cooperation at the Indonesian Embassy in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia on September 23 and 24, 2016. Main speakers at the dialogue included state officials and experts from Indonesia, namely General Election Commission member Hadar Nafis Gumai, Institute for Peace and Democracy Executive Director Iketut Putra Erawan, and Supreme Audit Agency's official Muhammad Fuad Rusti. The dialogue was held to meet a request made by African Union countries wishing to learn Indonesia's best practices in implementing accountable governance. Several topics discussed in the dialogue included general election accountability, financial accountability management, innovation in improving accountability, and corruption eradication. The similar dialogue has been scheduled to be held in Indonesia starting from September 26 to October 1, 2016, aimed at exposing participants to performance shown by the KPU, the BPK, the Corruption Eradication Commission, and the State Administrative Institution. The Indonesian government is currently formulating the 14th Economic Policy Package. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said at the compound of the Presidential Palace in Jakarta Tuesday that the policy package will regulate e-commerce and digital economy. Earlier, in a limited meeting on digital economy development, President Joko Widodo expected Indonesia to take part in digital economy. According to him, Indonesia has a huge potential in digital economy. President Joko Widodo went on to say that in order to compete, Indonesia must make a breakthrough in e-commerce, such as by supporting startup owners through widening the access to capital for their sustainable growth. Communication and Informatics Ministry Rudiantara added that government will expedite the formulation of the policy package in the form of presidential regulation. The draft presidential regulation contains 31 initiatives, which are grouped into 7 major issues, namely human capital and education, financing, taxation, consumer protection, cybersecurity, logistics, and communication infrastructure. The Pontianak City Administration will cooperate with Shanghai Electric Group Co. Limited and Zhongsheng Hua Thai International Energy Co. Limited, a Chinese state company, to process city garbage to generate electricity. A memorandum of understanding was signed on Tuesday by Deputy Mayor of Pontianak, Edi Rusdi Kamtono and Zee Kiang Gu representing Shanghai Electric on Tuesday. Edi Rusdi Kamtono said that it would be built in the city's garbage disposal place in Batu Layang, and they will have talks about details including on feasibility study on the project, which will have a capacity of 8 to 10 megawatts. He remarked that if the project is carried out, the city would be clean of garbage and will have additional supply of power. President of Shanghai Electric, Zee Kiang Gu, said the entire project would be handled by Shanghai Electric from design and construction. Indonesia and Malaysia is currently finalizing draft of manpower agreement that has previously been outlined in the letter of intent on September 23 in Putrajaya, Malaysia. Consular officer of Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Yusron Bahaudin Ambari, on Wednesday said that the Indonesian government is waiting for the completion of law revision on placement and protection of Indonesian workers abroad before signing the agreement.
Masih dalam pembahasan ya, belum final sama sekali karena Malaysia menginginkan satu sistem.
It is not complete yet at all because Indonesian and Malaysian governments still do not agree on the system yet. We do not want that the memorandum of understanding will not give maximum protection to Indonesian workers. We do not sign the agreement yet also because Indonesian government is waiting for the complete revision of law number 39 about placement and protection of Indonesian workers abroad. Therefore, Minister of Foreign Affairs ordered us not to sign any agreement until the revision is finished.
Yusron added that, besides waiting the law revision, Indonesian government also discussed about representative abroad that will protect and give assistance to Indonesian workers in Malaysia. Yusron hoped that the memorandum of understanding will be signed soon, because it gives lots of benefits to Indonesian workers in Malaysia in terms of supervision and protection. Based on letter of intent, the memorandum of understanding is targeted to be finished by the end of this year. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Malaysian property developer BGMC has expressed its intent to build an Islamic center in North Sumatra. BGMC's Business Development Director Feru Lee Yondo said that the company is committed to invest on the Islamic center development. They have now come to the region together with BGMC Chairman Tan Sri Barigoh. They, as one of Malaysia's biggest property developers, are also interested to build an international school in North Sumatra. North Sumatra Governor Tengku Eri Nuradi has welcomed BGMC's intention. He has offered a 50-hectare land in Deli Serdang, 7 kilometers from Kuala Namu Airport. He added that the intent to invest is in line with North Sumatra's program of hosting national Quran recital competition in July 2018. Some 1,000 residents from various regions in Bangka Belitung province are taking part in what they called the Gemarikan Movement or Community Fish Eating Movement held along Muntok's Batu Rakit Beach, West Bangka District, Tuesday, September 27. The Gemarikan event at Muntok's Batu Rakit Beach was also enlivened with a series of Nusantara or Archipelago Day and a cooking festival featuring cuisines involving various species of fish. It was attended by contestants from 7 districts or municipal cities of the province. According to Hamzah, the chief of the KKP office for West Bangka District, the activities are also intended to promote consumption of fish. Such event can spur people's interest in consuming fish, particularly the younger generation. The Gemarikan event was also attended by Bradley Armstrong of the Australian Embassy, Babel Governor, or Bangka Belitung Governor Rustam Effendi, West Bangka District Head Parhan Ali, Deputy District Head Marcus, and a number of other invitees. The last item.
The administration of Lebak District, Banten Province, will develop 29 tourist destinations by 2019 to attract more domestic and foreign tourists. These 29 tourism sites are either along the coastal areas or are natural tourism sites, as also the Badwi and Kolatan traditional and cultural tours, hot springs and rafting activities. One of beaches that will be developed further as a tourism site is the Sawarna Beach, which experiences high waves and is suitable for surfing. Facing the Indian Ocean makes the beach more beautiful. Meanwhile, the Badwi culture can be promoted in the world, like the traditional ways of life of the Aborigines in Australia, the Amish in the US, and of the Inca people in Machu Picchu, Peru. The tourism sites development program is in line with the regional tourism development master plan. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia and Africa strengthen ties in government accountability. 14th economic policy packages to regulate e-commerce. Chinese company agrees to process garbage to generate power. That was the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with commentary entitled Peace Message from Colombia. Colombia entered a new phase in the life of the nation. After 4 years of lengthy negotiation process, at last on Monday night, September 26, Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos and the leader of the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or FARC, Rodrigo Londono, better known as Timoleon Timochenko Jimenez, signed a peace agreement in the city of Cartagena, Colombia. The two men, who had been hostile, then shook hands and smiled at the international attendants invited to the event. Thus, it was over the last episode of the conflict in the southern hemisphere of the Americas. In addition to agreeing to end the conflict, the FARC also apologized publicly for the many lives lost during the 57 years of conflict. Timochenko, as FARC leader, in his speech expressed the intention to start reconciliation and peace building. Also called for the disarmament and to stay away from gun violence. It was also confirmed by President Juan Manuel Santos that members of the FARC, after putting down their weapon, should return to the community. Santos added that they would replace the swapping of bullets and weapons with the idea of development. Once reconciled, the FARC is no longer an armed militant but became a political party, and Timochenko is the new party leader. Colombia's conflict began when government troops suppressed the resistance of the farmers. After the incident in 1964, the FARC began a guerrilla war against the government. The important event in the history of Colombia was witnessed by about 2,500 guests. Present at the event was the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, United States Secretary of State John Kerry, and Secretary of State of the Vatican Pietro Parolin. In addition, some leaders of Latin American countries in the region were also present during Cuban President Raul Castro. Cuba played an important role in the realizations of the peace agreement. The last negotiations has been held since Juan Manuel Santos was re-elected as president in 2014. One of Santos' commitments then was seeking peace with the FARC. Negotiations within the government with the FARC were carried out with the mediations of Cuba. Colombia's chief delegate, Humberto de la Calle, and the FARC, Ivan Marquez, signed the agreement in Havana, Cuba on Wednesday, September 24th evening local time, and announced via live television. Under that agreement, the FARC was willing to lay down weapons and integrate into society. We welcome the peace agreement between the government of Colombia and FARC rebels. Peace in Colombia will create a balance in the Latin American region. Indonesia can also play a role as that of Cuba for resolving conflicts that arise in its own region. Listener, that was commentary for today. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Today in History. Now we begin to the anniversary of Railway Day on September 28. After proclaiming the Independence Day of Indonesia on August 17, 1945, the employee who incorporated in youth train generation took over the Japanese railways. The historical event that was occurred on September 28, 1945 was the reading of statements by a number of youth train generation's members who claimed that railway authority would be handled by Indonesia starting from September 28, 1945. The Japanese were no longer allowed to intervene or think about the railways in Indonesia. That's why September 28 is commemorated as the Railway Day in Indonesia by forming the Indonesian Railways Department. The next event happened on September 28, 1970. President of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, passes away. Gamal Abdel Nasser was born on January 15, 1918 and passed away on September 28, 1970 in Cairo, Egypt. He was the second president of Egypt and also one of the most Arab reputable statesmen in history. He took part in the first war happened between Arab against the Zionists in 1948. In 1952, along with General Najib, he did a coup d'etat toward King Farouk and replaced the governmental system to be the Republic. 2 years later, Gamal Abdel Nasser reached his power when General Najib stepped down from his position as president. In his presidential era, Najib reformed Egypt and against the Zionist colonialism in Quds. In 1956, Suez Canal was nationalized by Abdel Nasser. Following this policy, the British, French, and Zionist troops attacked Egypt. His resistance against Allied forces made him more famous among Arab leaders. Egypt's loss in war against Israel in 1967 was a major failure for Abdel Nasser. Then he passed away 3 years later on September 28, 1970. Next historical event is International Human Rights Day as the last item. On September 28, 2002, organizations of freedom of information from around the world held a meeting in Sofia, Bulgaria, and made a Freedom of Information Advocacy Networks entitled Freedom of Information Advocates. They agreed to work together in promoting the individual's rights to gain access to the information and transparency of government. The Group of Freedom of Information also proposed to commemorate September 28 as the International Day for the Human Rights to Obtain Information as a movement to promote the human rights for regaining some information. On this day, the activists of freedom of information from around the world promoted the basic rights and held campaigns that people could take part in government. Listener, that's the end of Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Voigreen, entitled Indonesian Sea Biomass Increases. Minister of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Susi Pujiastuti said that Indonesian sea biomass increasing rapidly so that many kinds of fish also increasing. It has happened because Minister Susi has succeeded in overcoming the eradication of illegal fishing in Indonesia's water. Minister Susi Pujiastuti at the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Office, Jakarta, on Friday said that satellite, a major technology currently, has been extraordinary, so that they can be able to know the level of sea fertility in the waters of the entire world. She argued that the fishery sector reforms, which was initiated and done by her, had made a number of fish stocks in the national water growing rapidly. The newest study of the National Commission for Assessment of Fish Resources and 11 Indonesia's regional fisheries management shows that the fish stocks increasing from 6.5 million tons in 2011 to 9.9 million tons this year. Director General of Aquaculture, Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, Slamet Subiakto, said the eradication of illegal fishing in Indonesian waters also affected on the enhancement of the national fish flour production. This makes the fish flour import decreasing. According to Slamet Subiakto, if the condition keep on continuing, the national fish flour will be increasingly used by the fish feed industries. Meanwhile, to increase the cultivators' incomes, especially the freshwater fish cultivators, there should be done the breakthrough to supply the feed. To answer these challenges, the Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries formed an independent fish feed movement. Slamet Subiakto explained the independent fish feed movement would encourage the formation of an independent group of fish feed separating from the group of cultivators. The Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries would also encourage them through the independent fish feed movement to produce good quality feed in accordance with the Indonesian national standard SNI. The ministry will encourage the emergence of tool providers of raw materials and also an independent fish feed marketing group. It will create the domino effects in employment absorption and also increases the social welfare. That was today's Voigreen. See you and goodbye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, coming up next, news in brief. Indonesia and several African countries held the Indonesian-African Countries Dialogue on Accountable Governance themed Responding Challenges and Building Cooperation at the Indonesian Embassy in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia on September 23 and 24, 2016. The Indonesian government is currently formulating the 14th Economic Policy Package. Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said at the compound of the Presidential Palace in Jakarta Tuesday that the policy package will regulate e-commerce and digital economy. The Pontianak City Administration will cooperate with Shanghai Electric Group Co. Ltd. and Zhongsheng Huatai International Energy Co. Ltd., a Chinese state company, to process city garbage to generate electricity. Indonesia and Malaysia is currently finalizing draft of manpower agreement that has previously been outlined in the letter of intent on September 23 in Putrajaya, Malaysia. Consular Officer of Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Yusron Bahauddin Ambari,
said that the Indonesian government is waiting for the completion of law revision on placement and protection of Indonesian workers abroad before signing the agreement. Malaysian property developer BGMC has expressed its intent to build an Islamic center in North Sumatra. BGMC's business development director, Vero Lee Yondo, said that the company is committed to invest on the Islamic center development. Some 1,000 residents from various regions in Bangka Belitung province are taking part in what they called the Kemarikan Movement, held along Muntok's Batu Rakit Beach, West Bangka District, Tuesday, September 27. The administration of Lebak District, Banten Province, will develop 29 tourism destinations by 2019 to attract more domestic and foreign tourists. These 29 tourism sites are either along the coastal areas or are natural tourism sites, as also the Badui and Kaulatan traditional and cultural tours, hot springs and rafting activities. That was news in brief.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia Broadcasting Daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to a monument which becomes icon of Kediri in Java province. Stay tuned. Listeners, if we visit a city, usually we find out what the most famous object of the city is. It can be food, tourism object, or icon of the city. In Indonesia, precisely in Kediri is Java, there is beautiful monument which is very luxurious, namely Simpang Lima Gumul. The monument is similar with Arc de Triomphe in Paris, France. Simpang Lima Gumul monument has 804 meters wide and 25 meters high. This number refers to the establishment of Kediri, namely 25 March 804 Christian. At every side of the monument, there are sculptured reliefs which describe about history of Kediri and the art and culture of Kediri. There is also Ganesha statue, one of gods who is worshipped by Hindu people as god of knowledge and intelligence, protection and wisdom. In Simpang Lima Gumul Monument, there is a meeting room which is at the main building. On the upper floor, there are auditorium and mini market at lower floor. Besides, there is also multi-purpose room at the basement. This building also has three underground access roads to get to the monument. As icon of the city, Simpang Lima Gumul Monument is very crowded, especially at the nights and weekends. Moreover, there are many vendors who sell various kinds of foods, beverages, and souvenirs at Tugu Market. This market is called Tugu, which is abbreviation of Setu Minggu, meaning Saturday and Sunday. On holiday, the monument is open for public. It means you can enter and go to the top of monument to witness scenery and activity which take place in the monument complex. Mm-hmm. Listener, Simpang 5 Gumul administratively is located at Tugu Rejo Village, Kediri Regency, East Java. The intersection of the road brings 5 roads to Pare, Pagu, Plosok Klaten, Gampang Rejo, and Pesantren. It is not difficult to access the location of Simpang 5 Gumul. One of the routes which can be accessed is through Surabaya, Pare, Kediri. Simpang 5 Gumul has a distance 6 kilometers from the center of the city. It takes around 10 minutes by cars. The development of the monument at Simpang 5 Gumul has been begun since 2008. This monument was initiated by Sutrisno, the regent of Kediri at the time, and targeted a central of economy and also new trade. Well, listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Simpang 5 Gumul. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Listener, thank you for still being with us, the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestions or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia, or to our email address at info@voi.co.id and english@voi.co.id. Listener, now let's listen to our segment, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today, we feature a topic entitled Ke Pasar Ikan, which in English means going to the fish market. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Pasar ikan, which means fish market. Selamat pagi, good morning, bagaimana, bagaimana, how, kamu, kamu, you, hari ini, today, sangat baik, very good, terima kasih, thank you, pergi kemana, where are you going, ke pasar ikan, going to the fish market, membeli apa, membeli apa? What do you want to buy? Ikan kakap, snapper. Ikan dori, dory fish. Cumi, cumi, calamari. Kerang, kerang, shell. Udang, udang, shrimp. Kepiting, kepiting, crab. Membuat, membuat, to make. Nasi goreng seafood, seafood fried rice. Memasak, memasak, to cook. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Ke Pasar Ikan, or in English means going to the fish market. The conversation is between A. Nina and B. Lucy. A. Nina. Selamat pagi, Lucy. Selamat pagi, Lucy, which means Good morning, Lucy. B. Lucy. Selamat pagi, Nina. Selamat pagi, Nina. Good morning, Nina. A. Nina. Bagaimana kabar kamu hari ini? Bagaimana kabar kamu hari ini? Which means, how are you today? B. Lucy. Sangat baik. Bagaimana denganmu? Sangat baik. Bagaimana denganmu? I'm very well. How about you? A. Nina. Baik juga. Terima kasih. Baik juga. Terima kasih. Which means, I'm fine too. Thank you. B. Lucy. Kamu ingin pergi kemana hari ini? Kamu ingin pergi kemana hari ini? Which means, where are you going today? A. Nina. Saya ingin ke pasar ikan Muara Karang. Saya ingin ke pasar ikan Muara Karang. Which means, I want to go to Muara Karang Fish Market. B. Lucy. Kamu ingin membeli apa? Kamu ingin membeli apa? Which means, what do you want to buy? A. Nina. Membeli ikan kakap, ikan dori, cumi, kerang, udang, dan kepiting. Membeli ikan kakap, ikan dori, cumi, kerang, udang, dan kepiting. I want to buy snapper, dory fish, calamari, shell, shrimp, and crab. Aku ingin membuat nasi goreng seafood. Aku ingin membuat nasi goreng seafood. I want to make seafood fried rice. B. Lucy. Baiklah, selamat memasak. Baiklah, selamat memasak. Which means, all right, happy cooking. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. And sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, it's a great pleasure to meet you in our daily program, Music Corner. In today's edition, I will dedicate to you some nostalgic songs sung by Indonesian singers Chris Biantoro. Stay tuned.
Berlumpur dan bernoda, di sanalah kini engkau berada. Mengapa, oh mengapa, aku tak percaya. Dulu pernah aku mengagumimu, sekarang pun tetap mengharapkanmu. Mengapa, oh mengapa, tak perlu bertanya. Andaikan mungkin ingin aku seperti
sampai kapankah kau harus begini? Mungkinkah kau ingin terus begini? Mengapa, oh mengapa, aku tak percaya? Saja dan lupakan semua yang terjadi, anggaplah angin lalu. Sampai kapankah kau harus mungkinkah kau ingin terus begini? Mengapa, mengapa aku tak percaya?
Listener, the song you've just listened was the song of Chris Biantoro entitled Mungkinkah. The song is about the life of a woman falling to the darkness, and when she is in desperate time of her life, there is a man feeling sympathetic and fall in love with her. He also asks her to live her life as if she upholds socio-cultural norms. With Chris baritone vocal, the song Mungkinkah became famous in 70s era and was frequently played in many radio stations. His name turned out to be more famous when he being a master of ceremony at various stages and events, as well as the presenter of the television programs. At that time, Indonesia had only one television station, namely TVRI. Well, listener, I will dedicate to you the next Chris Biantoro song.
Rindu lukisan mata suratan hatimu nan merindu, rindu bayangan nan meliputi para seri wajahmu. Mengapa mendusta seribu kata? Mengapa membisu seribu bahasa? Mungkinkah bulan merindukan kumbang? Dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu, usah kau malu karena asmara. Risau engkau risau di aku pun maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu aku pun demikian, rindu sudah nasib untung di badan. Thank you.
dapatkah kumbang mencapai rembulan? Rindu katakan rindu, usah kau malu karena asmara. Risau engkau risau di aku pun maklum maksud tak sampai. Rindu hatimu, aku pun demikian. Rindu sudah nasib untung di badan. Rindu, 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 rindu.
Listener, thank you for being with us in our daily segment Music Corner to play some old songs sung by the late Chris Biantoro. Listener, to end this music corner, I will present you a song by Chris Biantoro. I hope this song helps you to get some knowledge toward Indonesian music. See you next time and goodbye. Sampai jumpa.
Malam gemilang bagaikan bintang timur sedang mengembang. Tak jemu-jemu mata memandang, aku namakan di kau juwita malam. Sinar matamu menari-nari langsung menembus ke dalam jantung kalbu. Aku terpikat masuk perangkap, apa daya asmara sudah melekat. Juwita malam, siapakah gerangan tuan? Juwita malam, dari bulankah tuan? Kereta kita segera tiba, di jati negara kita akan berpisah. Berilah nama, alamat serta, esok lusa boleh kita jumpa pula. Kita akan berpisah, berilah nama, alamat serta, esok lusa boleh kita jumpa pula, esok lusa boleh kita jumpa pula.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Suhan rembulan Aryati di kagemilang seni pujaan dosa kahamba mimpi berkasih dengan Tuhan ujung jarimu ku cium mesra tadi malam. Dosakah hamba memuja di kau dalam mimpi? Hanya dalam mimpi. Aryati di kamawar di taman khayalku. Tuan terpetik daku, walaupun demikian nasibku, namun aku bahagia seribu satu malam.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Di lembah yang berlumpur hancur dan bernoda. Di sanalah kini engkau berada. Mengapa, oh mengapa, aku tak percaya. Sekarang pun tetap mengharapkanmu. Mengapa, oh mengapa, tak perlu bertanya. Andaikan mungkin ingin daku mengajak kau saja dan lupakan semua yang terjadi. Anggaplah angin lalu. Sampai kapankah kau harus mungkinkah kau ingin terus begini? Mengapa, oh mengapa, aku tak percaya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.